This morning I want to actually bring the thought, the realization that sometimes, I don't know if you've ever said, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Has anybody ever thought that or said that? It just doesn't feel like Christmas. Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, I guess I'm not. Something happened. I remember my wife and I. We were in college in Pensacola, Florida, and this was the only year, probably in my whole life till my parents passed, that I was not home with my family at Christmas. We did not have the money, we didn't have the time off from work, and I couldn't get home for Christmas. And for some reason, Christmas was not the same, so to speak. And it will truly probably be that way for someone here who has lost their loved one this year. Christmas may not feel the same for you this year. Or someone who is going through a physical problem, and you may be saying Christmas just doesn't feel the same this year. And the reality is that we have, in America and around the world, identified things with Christmas. I was listening to somebody, I don't know who sang it yesterday on the radio, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas." You've heard that song, and I wish I'd looked that up, the words to it. But basically, there's, you know, the malls are this, and this is going on, and the snow, and all these different things, and because these things were happening, it was beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And the reality is that we have turned Christmas somewhat into a holiday where we have lost Christmas. We have lost or buried Jesus from Christmas. I mean, our celebrations are centered around food, family. Oftentimes we don't even go to church on Christmas because we're too tired from opening the gifts or whatever it is, or have to do this, or have to have a celebration with food, presents, and parties. And sometimes it's hard to separate the truth of Christmas from the traditions of a Christmas tree. Where did that come from? Where did presents come from? Is that Christmas? And we've grown up with this, and sometimes we can say, being with family, and sometimes we can say it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Truth is. And the reality is, I want us to stop and think about that there's something deeper. And we need to think about what the word of God came to the angels came and gave to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And I want to ask you to turn there again with me this Sunday to Luke chapter 2. And think about the message that the shepherds gave, that the angels gave to the shepherds. And I want to focus on peace mainly, but there's three attributes here all seen in the birth of Christ. And they're not Christmas trees, and they're not presents. They are God's love, joy, and peace. Now we all know that. God's love, joy, and peace. But I want you to know, and I want us to understand, that Christ's love, joy, and peace far supersede this world, the world's love, the world's joy, the world's peace. And in Luke chapter 2, let's begin in verse 8 again. In the same region, There were shepherds. They were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with that single angel earlier, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on earth to people that he favors." And of course, the shepherds go and find the sign of the baby lying in a manger and so on. But I want to focus on, in the midst of right now, think about our world right now. Think about it. How much peace is in the world right now? Turn your TVs on. How much peace do you see? Seriously. What we see is turmoil throughout the Middle East. We live with the reality of the fear, and it is inevitable that terrorism will strike again to this country. Can you imagine in reality that if the terrorists did get a hold of a dirty bomb in New York City and a million people were killed? I know that's trying to put fear into your mind, but that's the day and age we live in. And of course, what do you see in North Korea? North Korea testing nuclear missiles. I know they're not nuclear at this point, but testing and finding now they have a missile that would go all the way to the east coast of the United States. Peace. We don't see much peace, do we? We live in fear. And that's just in the back of our minds, what could happen. What about our everyday life? The fear of family issues. The fear of a child using drugs. The fear of children growing up in homes that are constantly fighting, and the kids seeing this, and the fear of living with divorce always before you. The kids seeing this. The fallout is extremely painful when you do go through a divorce. But the dysfunctional marriage that affects the child, and over, the fear of losing your job due to another downturn in the economy. And then you always have the kids who have college debt, finding a job to pay for it. The fear. And in the midst of this angel appeared, the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds. And what was his first words? Fear not. Fear not. Would Jesus say that to you today? Fear not. He would. So, well, how can you not fear when your family is living in this? How can you not fear when the reality is we're living from week to week? How can you not fear? How can you not fear that these things could happen? We talk about terrorism. How can we not fear? See, in the midst of this world of fear, the message of God to mankind is, do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy. I had read a joke. An angel appeared to Charlie and Joe, and he said, "Hey, guys, I've got good news and I've got bad news." And they said, oh, what's the good news? The good news is you guys have a golf appointment on Monday morning. So, oh, that's good. What's the bad news? It's at the Golden Gate country club in heaven. I know that's not bad news, but I kind of thought it was funny. But the truth of the matter is, he wants to bring your life out of despair. Hear that. He wants to bring your life out of despair. You do not need to fear what you're facing. It is real and lasting happiness. Behold, I bring you news of great joy. I want you to know God's message is a message of abundance, of real and lasting joy and peace and love. So oftentimes we see God as an ogre who wants to hammer us down. But the truth of the matter is, he wants to give us a life far beyond what we could ever ask or even think. And I say that, I don't know where you are in your life, but he wants to give you, he has the power to give you an abundant life, a fulfilling, no matter where you are, no matter what your background. Today, you have the potential through Christ to live a full and abundant life if you'll turn to him and give your life over to him. Now, I have a couple messages floating around in my mind, and here's my problem. I want to talk about joy, peace, and love, but I want to take this message of the angel, peace and goodwill to the men on whom his favor rests. And I want you to, something I never realized before, I want us to think about what that means here. If you turn with me, the goodwill to men, Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Let's look at what does this text mean, peace, goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. And let's make a final answer to what does that text mean, goodwill to men. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. Now this is Jesus, and in that time he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them unto infants. Okay? Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. That word, good pleasure, or this seemed good to you. I see you have the NIV up there. This seemed good to you. That is the same word as used, goodwill toward men. And what he's saying here is a sense of that God has sovereign good for the people that he will reveal his son to. He has sovereign good for them. And I want you to see that what Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed them to who? To infants, to babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And what I'm trying to say here is that what, and I like what John MacArthur says, that God has sovereign good planned for those who receive his favor. He has planned to give them good. Now, the next scripture to help you identify what this means is in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke 3, 22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am good. I am well pleased. God designs good. He is pleased with his son. And he is pleased to give peace. He is pleased to give peace to those who he reveals his son to. He is pleased to give peace. Peace to those to whom he reveals his son. Now this next one is very interesting. in chapter 12, verse 32 of Luke. Now, this is the same guy that uses this goodwill toward men, but to help you understand that this goodwill is his sovereign revealing of things. Just like he sovereignly reveals it to babies, he keeps the understanding of the gospel from the wise and the prudent, but he reveals it to the simplest of people. Because that was his will. That was his sovereign pleasure to do that. Now in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, and this is quite a verse. He says, but seek his kingdom. I'm sorry, I'm in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Don't be afraid. I'll just read it from up here. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what I'm saying here is this peace that God gives that transcends this world is given to those that he reveals it to. To them that he reveals the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world and he saves them, he has the desire to give goodwill to them. He has the desire to give his pleasure, his blessing, his fulfilled life. God desires peace with mankind, but he especially desires to give his peace to those that are his children. Now, I want us to turn in thinking to the book of John, and I want to take these three words, love, joy, and peace, and look to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And look at verse 27. And let's think of this word, peace. John 14, verse 27. I'm reading from up here, because I know this new translation that I'm using reads totally different than yours. I really like it. It's a great translation, but it does read different. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. Now think of this. Peace I leave with you. Remember I said about God gives peace to those who are of his sovereign purpose to reveal his son to. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I'm going to keep reading here on through verse 31. So if you want to keep, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Now why would they not have peace? Why would they not have peace? Think of this. I mean, it's right there. Why would they not have peace? Because he's told them, I'm leaving you. And those words, I'm leaving you, left them fearful, right? And so he says, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Keep going. And now I have told you, before it comes, before this happens that you're going to see tomorrow, you're going to see me crucified. You're going to see me hated and mocked and die. So I'm saying this to you now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. So when you see me go away from you, I'm telling you right now, I'm coming up. I'm coming back. So I want you to have peace of mind. Don't be afraid. Now, did that happen? Nope. Let's read on. Go ahead. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Keep going. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and that the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So he's saying, I want you to have peace in spite of what you see, in spite of what you feel, in spite of what you're going to experience. I want you to have peace. Now think about that. What are you going to experience? Christ wants you to have peace. No matter what it might be that will come to your life, he wants you to have his peace. My peace I leave with you. Now, look next with me to chapter 16. 16. In verse 16. Same scenario Jesus is talking about here. But that the world may know that I love the Father. I'm sorry, that's John 16:16, Rich. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. So he says this repeatedly. Because I go to the Father. Keep going. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is it that he's saying to us? A little while and you will not see me, and then again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. Keep going. Then they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We don't know what he is saying, okay? Next. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will be happy, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Go ahead. He talks about as a woman when she's in labor has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been sent into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. We're going through verse 33. I'm just looking at this, how long this is. Skip to the next one, Rich. Until now you've asked, I'm going to go back to reading here because this is going to take too long back and forth. Verse 25. I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day you will ask in my name, and I am not telling you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And then his disciple says, look, now you're speaking plainly. And they still didn't get it, but he was speaking plainly. And not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything. He did. And don't need anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now here's the key, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. And what I'm trying to say is the message to these angels, or that angel to the shepherds, that he gave them peace and joy that didn't depend upon the things you feel, that you don't feel like Christmas. You say it doesn't feel like Christmas. Well, get into the true Christmas spirit. Get into the true meaning of Christmas and enter into the suffering. When Jesus was born, his parents had to run for their life. Does that sound joyous? Remember that? That wasn't very joyous, giving birth in a stable and all that. But the point is, Christmas is not about Christmas trees or presents or even being with family. Christmas is about love, joy, and peace that Jesus Christ gives you, that the world can't take from you, that the world doesn't give you, and you can know true love, true joy, and true peace. Now, peace right now to me seems impossible. It just does. And it is under the present, in this present world we live in. And I don't know what the future events of this world history holds, but Jesus tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars. Paul prophesied that the day of the Lord would come upon this world like a thief in the night. When people are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction would come upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. We are not in darkness that day should surprise us. But we have peace with God. The angels proclaim to the shepherds, God's offer to you and to me, peace. Peace that supersedes, not as the world gives, but as Jesus gives. And joy. And when you experience the momentary setbacks in life, and you will, just like the cattages are going through, they don't need to be afraid. Jesus said, I will come to you. And I'm going to tell you this. They will go to Stevie. Stevie will not come to them, but they will go and see Stevie again. Just as David said about his child. God desires peace and to give us peace. And I hope that you have that peace in spite of what you're going through in this world. A peace that supersedes this world. A joy that supersedes the events of this world. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't know what's going to happen to me in the future. But I do know this, that Christ can give me peace right now. Just like those disciples didn't know what was going to happen to Jesus, he told them, don't be afraid, have peace. He said, the joy, don't be afraid, you're going to sorrow. You are going to sorrow, but don't be afraid. Joy is going to come to you. And same with love. In the book of John chapter 17 and verse 20, and we'll close with this scripture, John 17, 20, and another couple verses. I pray not only for these, Jesus prays also for those who would believe in me through their word. And that's us here today. I'm praying for them. And now verse 24 through 26. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love that you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. So I'm trying to get across the truth that the message that the angels brought of great joy and peace is not contingent upon what we experience in this world. And when we might say, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. maybe because of something, I don't know what it may be. It just doesn't feel like Christmas. Well, Christ's birth supersedes all this world. Christ's joy that was promised to those shepherds supersedes the events that they would go through in their life. And Christ's peace supersedes all you see on TV. There is coming a day when the Prince of Peace will rule on this earth. And Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, and Donald Trump, their baby fights will be over. And Christ will bring both of them under his control. And there will be peace on earth and goodwill towards those on whom his favor rests. Let's pray. I want you to understand the reason I brought this message this morning. I want you to understand that what you may be going through right now, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Maybe someone that has sat around the table with your family, there's several of us, won't be there this year. But I want you to know Christ will be there. And your joy and your peace and your love is found in him. Not in the trappings of this world. Not in the giving of presents. Not in a Christmas tree. And not in all Santa Claus. Shame on you parents that emphasize Santa Claus more than Jesus Christ. And I mean that. Not meanly, but I mean it. Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in your Christmas. And I hope that your best gift will be reserved for Jesus Christ. And I mean that too. After all, it is his celebration. Lord, I thank you that when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, and when you reveal to us your salvation, you give us a peace that you are in control of our lives. You give us a sense that there's nothing that can happen to me, that your joy and peace is not greater than, and that your love is not greater than this world. Help us to see that in a special way this Christmas. Lift up our hearts in you, Christ, and in you most predominantly. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your great joy, the tidings of great joy, that a Savior is born to us, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. A joy that this world does not have. Help us to have that joy and to believe in you as our Savior. In Jesus, your name, amen.